Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our pilgrimage, searching the face of Jesus in the Gospels. We are meditating on what the evangelists tell us about Jesus in the Gospels. We have seen that after his baptism in the River Jordan, where he was declared Son of the Most High, Son of God, he was led into the desert, where he spent 40 days and 40 nights without eating or drinking anything. And there he was tempted by the devil. The Gospel of Mark tells us that Jesus was there, tempted by the devil for 40 days and nights. And Matthew and Luke focus on three particular temptations, which become kind of symbol or epitome of all the temptations Jesus was facing, not only during those 40 days, but during his entire public life. We have already seen the first two temptations, that of bread and that of miracle. Jesus refused to perform a miracle of changing stones into bread or jumping down from the top of the pinnacle of the temple. These are not ways intended by the Father, he said. In both temptations, the devil was asking, if you are the Son of God, the very divine sonship was at stake. If you are Son of God, turn this stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, jump down and God will protect you, will send his angels to guard you, that your feet don't strike against stones. Now, the third temptation comes in a different way. Nothing is said about God. The challenge is not there if you are the Son of God. So that has been already left out. Now, the devil comes out in his proper character. And this temptation is presented in a slightly different ways in Matthew and Luke. We have already seen in the Gospel of Luke, the last temptation is in Jerusalem. So Luke has a different order as far as the second and third temptations are concerned. Luke has presented the present temptation as the second one, the temptation concerning power and authority over the world. Whereas the temptation to jump down from the temple, the pinnacle of the temple, was placed at the end as the last temptation. So that Luke can say that after having completed all the temptations, Satan or the devil left him for the time being or for the appointed time in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem becomes the place where the temptation ends and will resume when Jesus comes again. So Luke has a special interest on focusing his attention on Jerusalem. Matthew is not so much interested in the destiny of Jerusalem, but he has more to speak about the mountain. It is in fact Matthew who tells us that the devil took Jesus up on a very high mountain. We have two mountains in the Gospel of Matthew. There's a mountain of the Sermon and there is a mountain of Transfiguration. This mountain of the Sermon somehow stands in opposition to the Mount Sinai, where God appeared to Moses and gave the covenant and the commandments. Moses was the mediator of the covenant, and he was the one who brought the commandments to the people. Now Jesus, being presented in the Gospel of Matthew as the new Moses, sits on the mountain and there he teaches. Now this mountain in the Gospel of Matthew becomes a place of revelation. Revelation of God. Encounter with God. But now, contrary to that particular common image, now Jesus is taken up on a very high mountain. not to encounter God, but to pose himself against God. So the venue, the place in Matthew is a very high mountain. Luke does not say that the devil took Jesus on a high mountain. It is only said that he was taken high. The devil led him up and again to lead up. We don't know where. And we are sure it's not a physical experience. Jesus did not have to climb any mountain, as he did not have to climb the pinnacle of the temple. It is an internal experience. It's a spiritual or visionary experience, an experience that puts all his mission at stake. We have already seen the temptation, all the temptations are centered around the salvific mission of Jesus. Jesus is anointed by the Holy Spirit, and he is being sent out as the prophet to proclaim the presence of the kingdom of God. He is sent out as the Messiah to realize the kingdom of God, to realize the salvation, the redemption of humanity. The question is being asked, how is this redemption to take place? What is it to do to redeem the humanity? How is redemption to come to this world? Is it by giving bread? Is it by attracting attention through miraculous deeds? Or is it by exercising dominion over the world? The third temptation is centered on power. Matthew, it is said, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All the kingdoms of the world shown in a split second. Not only the kingdoms, but also their splendor, their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. I will give you all this. So the entire world with its dominions, with its glory, with its power and kingdoms are presented before Jesus, and he is promised domination, mastery over all this. Luke has a slightly different version of the same episode. Luke tells us like this. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant, in a split second, all the kingdoms of the world, as in Matthew. And then he goes on to say, the devil said to him, to you I'll give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. So there is a statement and there is a promise. The statement is this: all this world belongs to me. It has been given to me, and I have the power to give to anyone whom I want. That is a statement. That is a claim of the devil. And then you have a promise: I will give it to you. And there is a condition, and the condition is that you fall down and worship me. Now let us take it step by step. First, the statement of Satan. Satan tells us that, or tells Jesus, that the whole world, its glory and power has been given to him. Is it true? We know the Gospels present Satan as a liar. It's the Gospel of John that tells us that Satan or devil is a liar and father of lies. So we cannot trust whatever he says, neither in the Gospels nor in our ordinary life. Satan has a tendency to falsify things. He is the father of falsehood. But here what he says is not exactly false, because the Bible tells us incidents where Satan has achieved dominion over humanity and over the world. Already in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, we are told how Satan deceived the first parents, presenting a lie as a truth, instigating the first parents to rebellion against God, to test God's will, to refuse to obey, disobey God's commandment. And it was said, if you eat this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will become like God, knowing good and evil. become like God. Humanity, the first parents, were created in the image and likeness of God. It's not enough. They have to become themselves God. So if you disobey God, if you eat this fruit, you will become gods, knowing good and evil, becoming masters of good and evil. So through this falsehood, presenting something evil as good, the first parents were cheated. And by this disobedience, they came under the power of Satan. They believed the tempter more than God. They obeyed Satan more than God. And by this obedience to Satan and disobedience to God, the first parents came under the dominion of Satan. Through this temptation, through the sin, humanity became slaves of the powers of evil. So this is how Satan gained power over humanity and over the world. Later on, the entire Bible presents us a picture as if the whole world is under the dominion of devil. And Jesus himself agrees to it, sometimes in forms of parables, sometimes in direct statements. For example, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 21 and 22, we have a parable of two strong persons. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his castle, his property is safe, Jesus says. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overpowers him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his plunder. So Jesus is presenting an example, a parable of two strong men. The first strong one, keeping guard over his castle, fully armed, is Satan. Satan, who is guarding over his victims, the entire humanity. And so Satan has gained power over humanity, and he is keeping his victims as slaves, as captives. And now Jesus sees his activity as of conquering this strong one and liberating the slaves of that strong one. So he is the stronger one who comes and defeats, overpowers the strong one, and takes away the armor and divides his plunder. And that is how Jesus explains his ministry and his activity. Already in verses 18 and 19 of the same chapter 11, Jesus is replying to an accusation leveled against him by the Pharisees and lawyers that Jesus was casting out demons by the power of the prince of demons called Beelzebul. If Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. Now, if I cast out the demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your exorcists cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come to you. So Jesus is casting out demons not by the power of devil, not by the power of Beelzebul, but by the power of God. So Jesus is sent, he is aware of his mission to defeat Satan. So Jesus himself agrees that the world into which he came was under the power of Satan. This is repeated in the Gospel of John, in fact twice. The Gospel of John chapter 12, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. The ruler of this world is none but Satan himself. So Jesus agrees that Satan is the ruler of this world. But this ruler is losing his control over the world. Satan is going to be cast out. Jesus had already acquired dominion over Satan in his victory during the temptation. But the definitive victory and the final victory will come through his death and resurrection. That is the moment when the ruler of this world will be cast out. In chapter 14, verse 30, Jesus tells again, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. but he has no power over me, the ruler of this world. So what Satan says is true, that this world has been handed over to him. Not willingly, but by the deceit and by the sin of humanity. And the dominion over humanity comes through sin. And Jesus tells us it again in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." So it is through sin that humanity came under the dominion. Now Jesus has come to liberate humanity from this dominion. How is he going to liberate? Satan is presenting a methodology. You become the ruler of the world. You establish a super empire that dominates the whole world as Alexander or any other ruler before you. Much more powerful. If you become ruler, the emperor of the whole world, then you can save the world through power. You will have the authority, you will have the glory, and people will obey you. And that is the way to liberate people, through political influence, authority, by making laws. And only one thing is asked, just a compromise. So far, Satan was telling, if you are the Son of God. Now, he doesn't use that card. Now, he comes out plainly and says, if you fall down and worship me, I will give you all this. Because I am the Lord, and you will become Lord instead. Only worship me. Worshipping Satan in order to liberate people. And that is a supreme folly. And Jesus knows it well. He came to destroy the power. He came to liberate people from the power of Satan. He cannot do that by submitting, by surrendering himself to the power of Satan. So there is no way that Jesus would agree with this. So he comes out with the statement. It is written, that is in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. The Lord your God you shall fear, him you shall serve, and by his name alone you shall swear. Do not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who are all around you. Only God, the Lord, you shall obey, you shall serve. The total allegiance to God, that is the only way of liberation. And on the other hand, Jesus sees dominion over the others as a diabolic temptation. And he has told the disciples about it. The one who wants to dominate others is not walking in the ways of Jesus. People were asking, the disciples were asking, who will be the first one, who will be the more important one, the greatest one among the disciples. And this dispute broke out among the disciples during the Last Supper. Luke chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, mark well, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. Those in authority are called benefactors. That is the Gentile way of exercising authority. It shall not be like with, but not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. So Jesus is not taking up the way of dominion. It was a concrete temptation. He could have achieved dominion over the world, maybe joining hands with the zealots. It was already a temptation in John 6, 14 and 15. After the multiplication of the bread, the people wanted to make him king. And this temptation was there even at the end, in Gethsemane, when Peter takes up arms against the Roman soldiers. But that is not the way of salvation. It's not the way of power. It's not the way of glory. It's not the diabolic way. The way to salvation, way to redemption that is open before Jesus is the only one, is the way of the cross. That is the way of total obedience and surrender to the Father's will. And that's what Jesus accepts. By this, the temptations are ended. And Luke says that the devil left him till the appointed time. So the devil is giving him an appointment at Jerusalem, and he comes back. And Luke tells us in chapter 22, verse 3, when Satan enters Judas and things move against Jesus. Now begins the public ministry. Jesus comes out victorious from this test and temptations. Now he can start conquering the world dominated by Satan. In the next episode, we will meditate on the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Now let us close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, who was tempted like all of us in every way, but he remained faithful to you through fasting and prayer, total disobedience and allegiance to you, and by use of the word. Enable us always to discern your will from the temptations. Enable us always to surrender our will to your will. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.